Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for that truth that you are, Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven, and that he is the answer to all of our thirst, our hunger for truth, for justice, for right living, for peace, for a peaceful society. So we ask you to help us to believe in the one whom you sent and to proclaim his lordship and to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us to become what we receive. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I didn't do that last night. I must be tired, but the heat's getting to me. So believe in the one whom he sent. You know, I'm not the kind of person who plans really far ahead. It's kind of, you know, fly by the seat of your pants lifestyle. So I didn't realize when I was doing those teachings a few weeks ago, those 3 weeks on the Eucharist, that just lo and behold, a couple weeks later, we'd be entering into the Bread of Life discourse, which also provides a wonderful opportunity to teach on the Eucharist. It's like the core of this teaching that John has in his sixth chapter of his gospel. But we can never overdose, and it's something that we're being called and invited to be more drawn into. So I was kind of thrilled it came up, but then I thought, well, if you just planned ahead, you know. But anyways, that's me. So I want to reinforce the importance of the Eucharist today and some key things that came through these readings for this weekend. And the first is that they were following him. You're just following me because you were fed. Jesus came to this earth to help us lift up our heads to the truth that we are children of God, to restore our dignity as children of God and bring us into reconciliation with God the Father, the Blessed Trinity, and with one another. And there's always this temptation just to reduce our existence to a horizontal level. So it's just, what can I eat? What's in this world? What's for me? What can I get? How can I be successful, etc.? And he came to break through that and to show us that we have an eternal destiny to be with him in heaven forever. And that we have a soul inside of us. And I think that the focus on so many physical things often distracts us from that. And so he was trying to help them see that I just performed a miracle for you, and now you're asking for another sign? Seriously? You know, and the truth is, because of the hardness of the human heart, God could do all kinds of signs, and I've seen this happen, and people don't come to faith. And so it's a very fragile thing. The 10 lepers, they were miraculously healed by Jesus. Only one came back to thank him. So that just shows us that it's not automatically in our fallen human nature to be grateful and give thanks. But that's what we're called to by the Eucharist. It means to give thanks for God's saving intervention in our world today. And that our world is not just, you know, making a better lifestyle, being more prosperous, having more. The imbalance as far as the world's goods continues to grow. And so we really need to be aware of that if we're really living by the law of the Spirit and following that second reading from Ephesians, then our life is being transformed and we're becoming much more sensitive to the plight and problems of people around us and not just being selfish and gathering things for ourselves. We're supposed to be growing in love of God and love of neighbor. And when Jesus Christ is truly the Lord of our life and he directs our life in a very different way. So the solution to all of our problems is not just what we can do, it's allowing God to intervene and to stop the cycle of violence and hatred that we see going on, isolation that's happening. And that's why you know a tree by its fruit. So some of the recent movements that promise to bring more reconciliation and healing have actually brought the exact opposite. They're causing more division, more violence, more destruction, and so forth. So we have to be very careful, again, that we're discerning, is this of God or is it not? And I think a lot of that's due to impatience, too. You know, we want a quick fix, so we want to just wave a magic wand and all of our problems are solved. And when they're not, we can tend to be very resentful and get violent with our words and our actions because we want things just to be done. And I think the people in Jesus' time struggled with the same thing. That's why they released Barabbas. Oh, he killed someone. He's a revolutionary. He promised to get quicker results. Not, you know, we don't want a Savior that hangs on the cross for 3 hours to die for our sins. We want somebody who's powerful, who wipes out our enemies and brings about the world that we want to see. And so people get impatient. And they can often turn to violence. A lot of the movements of the last century have been very violent. They promised something and they didn't deliver at all, which is not of God. He doesn't lie to us. He's not a liar. But I think that's partly because we've shoved God out of the picture and we no longer look to him and people no longer value prayer, meditation, self-reflection. You know, have I done anything to harm this relationship? We're so quick to be able to point out how others let us down and disappoint us. But what if we do things, say things, that harm others as well? Should we be reflecting on those experiences in our own life? That people are just so busy and plugged into social media and so forth that there's very little time for prayer and reflection. So Jesus came to help us lift our heads up and to breathe in the air of the Holy Spirit so that our minds and hearts could be transformed and changed and live our lives more abundantly. And I love the second point is believe in the one whom he sent. What do we have to do to accomplish the works of God? It starts with faith. faith in Jesus and inviting him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. And as Paul said in that second reading, assuming you've been taught and have heard, he realized that even in the Ephesian community in Ephesus, there were people there who were probably lost, part of the church, but they really hadn't taken the step to invite Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life and made that personal decision. So that's why they're not experiencing transformation. And he said, put on the new self. We have the same problem in our Catholic Church today with the reality of infant baptism. So many people don't follow through. They never hear a personal testimony about how somebody's life was changed or healed by Jesus. And so they just think it's a bunch of mumble jumble and it doesn't have any relevance in making a better world. So they leave church. They don't come to Mass anymore because they don't see how this is connected with social justice and making a better world. But for people who are truly following Jesus, he transforms their lives and he begins to make them more sensitive to the reality we have to forgive people, especially our enemies. We have to try to bring healing to our families, to affirm our families, to be kind to the co-workers we work with and so forth. He presents a whole new way of life. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not just some little intellectual thought that I file away in my mind. It's a whole new way of living life and seeing the world. And somebody even said they were last night after Mass, they were studying the teachings of the saints and the reality of suffering, redemptive suffering, that when suffering is united with Jesus, it becomes a whole new experience. And instead of turning us into ourselves and being bitter, it opens us up to be more connected with others. Recently, I had a friend who went through some experiences because of the COVID-19 pandemic and being locked down and everything, where it really affected her in a negative way. And she said, you know, as I pray about this, this has made me much more sensitive to people who struggle with maybe mental disorders or something or chemical imbalances in their brain, because now I see when you're not in your right mind how difficult life is and there's nothing you can do. And it's just, so she went through this period, but now she's seen doctors and is coming out of it. But she said that the blessing was that it made me more sensitive to people around me who struggle with that I never really noticed before. That's because that's redemptive suffering. And so it opened her up to be more connected, more compassionate, more thoughtful of other people. But it all comes through that faith, believe in the one whom he sent, the importance of faith. And that's one of the reasons I love John's gospel. John, more than any other gospel, goes for the jugular when it comes to faith. Think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have life eternal. And then John 20:31, that once he became to realize that Jesus was the Messiah, they said, these things are written down. Not everything could be written down, but these things are written down that you might have faith and believe in him as the Son of God and have life in his name. So John greatly emphasizes the importance of faith, that personal decision, I believe. I've crossed the threshold. I'll never be the same again. I have a song I listen to, I will never be the same again, because now my life is going off in a very different direction because of Christ. And then lastly, Jesus is the sign. And it's so funny, their words, give us a sign. He is the sign. He is the bread of life come down from heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's kind of funny, like, can't we do the same thing? I remember being in Medjugorje, and a lot of people go there looking for miracles and signs, you know, and things. Did your rosary turn to gold and so forth? Which some people really need that to help boost their faith. But once the priest said during Mass, he said, you know, once I was up here elevating the host during Mass and people are looking off at the window because they thought they saw something fly by the window. Or maybe it's an angel. It's like, folks, he's right here. Don't be stupid. He didn't say that, but I would have. He's right here. You know, he's right here in our presence, in our midst, the bread of life come down from heaven. And you're looking out over here. Like Grandma Esther, my dad took her to the fireworks show in Pasco. Spent like $20 on a ticket. So all these fireworks are going up in front of them, and she's over there looking behind the stadium, and a little airplane's going, look at that plane and those green and red lights. And my dad's like, huh? I just spent $20 for you to watch this spectacular fireworks show, and you're looking at a little airplane going in. But sometimes we miss the boat, and he's right with us and in front of us, and we're like, oh, well, show me something else. No, he is the sign. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father except through him. So we want to make sure we don't harden our hearts. That's why I love Psalm 95. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, you know, because sometimes we do that. We want things on our terms instead of surrendering to him. So we are more than just physical things and physical beings. And that's why one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children is the gift of faith, to pass on your faith to your child, to make sure they grow up to be a mature disciple. For me, if I was a parent, that means more than a college scholarship, a gold medal, anything, a singing contest, trophy, you know, that you passed your faith on. Your kids have that foundation now. They know where to go when they're in trouble. They know where to go when their marriage is in crisis. They know how to experience the healing power of the Holy Spirit because you loved them enough to share your faith with them. That, don't take that for granted. That is the most beautiful gift you can give your children. Amen? Amen. Believe in the one whom he sent. You have to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, confess with our lips, and believe in our heart. And then Jesus is the sign, the bread of life, and he will teach us more in the weeks ahead as we go through John 6. We don't read it in continuation. We skip a few parts, but we get right for the heart where he actually lets them leave because they don't believe he's the one who was sent. So half of them leave, and that's a very sad moment that we'll cross in a couple of weeks. But we believe, and that's why we're here. Amen? Amen. So let's just say a prayer and ask the Lord to continue to increase our faith. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for calling us to be part of your family. And we recognize as we look around the world that there's so many places of unrest, lack of peace, violence, discord, chaos, disorder. And we really want to be your presence and bring your healing into those places. So start with us, transform our minds, help us to put on the new self, to not compromise, but to pray for the full experience of redemption and the joy of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts yet again. And send us out not to live in a spirit of fear, but a spirit of confidence and boldness that we can do all things through you who strengthens us. And we pray in a special way for anybody in this church today or anybody watching on Facebook who's really struggling or doubting your goodness, that you would show them through our words and actions, maybe though a personal one-on-one encounter, maybe in your word, maybe a Christian song, but in some way encourage them today to continue the journey of faith. We all go through periods where we experience dryness and we don't feel close to you, but those are just periods and not the total sum of our journey. So be with us and increase our faith and trust in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.